The MGM Theater of the Air. Our star this week, Brian Ahern. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Vice President of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and noted writer of many Broadway musical hits, Mr. Howard Dietz.
Thank you. The full-hour play you are about to hear on the MGM Theater of the Air is H.M. Pullum, Esquire. This is a dramatization of the successful Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer movie, which was, in turn, based on the popular novel by J.P. Marquand. It is a domestic comedy of life in the traditional Back Bay section of Boston, Massachusetts. Our star this week is the engaging and talented stage and screen star, Brian Ahern. In just a moment now, the MGM Theater of the Air will present Brian Ahern in H.M. Pullum, Esquire. Was H.M. Pullum, Esquire, a man or a machine? Certainly the routine of his day was as exact as a precision instrument. Up each morning at 7:30, not 7:29 or 7:31. Down the stairs of his house in Back Bay, Boston at 8. Breakfast, the same breakfast. Then a walk across the Boston Common, each day by an identical route, bringing him to his office on Tremont Street at 9. Not 8:59 or 9:01. Day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. Occasionally, of an evening, there would be dinner or bridge at a friend's. Afterwards, while Kay, his wife, prepared for bed, Harry Pullum would linger in his study, nodding to the ticking of the grandfather clock. There had to be a grandfather clock. On this particular evening, Harry sits at his desk, varying the conventional routine by having a pen in his hand. The clock is ticking. Harry is thinking. It is a great effort.
Now, what can you write down for a thing like this? For your class history. Even for your Harvard class history. 25 years afterward. Harry Moulton Pullum. Born December 15th, 1896. Looks like a tombstone. Why did I let Bojo get me into this? Writing the class history. For our 25th anniversary. Bojo's still at it. Still making the old college try. Still pushing the ball over the goal line and making the rest of the team fight for him. Bojo Brown. Class of 17. All-American fullback. Something like that.
And this is going to be the best darn 25th reunion any class ever had.
I never realized we were all so old.
Well, that's a fine way to talk. We're not old.
We're in our middle 40s.
I'm just as good as I ever was, and so are you. Now, here's going to be your little job, Harry. You're going to be responsible for getting out the class history.
Look here, Bojo, I haven't got that time. I shouldn't have come to lunch today, only you called me, and I let you talk me into it. I just haven't the time. Oh, I'm
well,
sorry.
Well, take the time. Take off your coat and spit on your hands. Get down some important facts, that's all, and then make a few remarks. It's as simple as ABC.
Simple as ABC. What is it? Funny, the most important things just, well, they just don't fit into a class history. Coincidences don't belong to it either. Like today. Bojo called this morning, and then this afternoon, when I came back to the office after lunch, Miss Rollo said...
Oh, while you're at luncheon, a Mrs. Ransom telephoned. She asked that you call her as soon as you return to the office. She's at the Hadley.
Huh? What'd you say?
A Mrs. Ransom telephoned. She's at the Hadley.
Ransom? Don't think I know any Mrs. Ransom. What's she want?
She just wanted you to call her as soon as you came in.
Mm, all right. Get the Hadley. See if she's there. I met a Mr. and Mrs. Ransom on the way to Europe. Oh, a man named Ransom gave me a bid on putting in a septic tank.
Mrs. Ransom, please. One moment. She's coming on, sir.
Thank you. Huh? This is Mr. Harry Pullum.
I'm not really speaking, am I, to H.M. Pullum, Esquire?
This is Harry Pullum.
Don't you know who I am?
Perhaps it's a bad connection.
No, it's Marvin. Marvin Miles.
Marvin?
Harry, are you trying to pretend you don't remember?
What in the world are you doing in Boston?
I'm here on business. You didn't know me, did you?
Oh, yes, yes, of course, but... Well, you came out of nowhere.
Don't you want to see what I look like?
Yes, I'd like to, Marvin. I'd love to.
Then meet me at 5:30 for a cocktail. I'll be waiting for you downstairs in the Fiesta Room.
The Fiesta Room at the Hadley, 5:30. I'll remember it. Well, I remembered. I was there. I saw her. I turned around and walked out to the nearest flower shop. She must have the roses by now and the card I sent with them.
You're so beautiful. I saw you across the room. I just couldn't bear to come in. Harry.
Why did I walk out? Was I afraid? What could I be afraid of? How could anything be on my conscience? But I behaved as if something were. I sent Marvin 2 dozen American beauties and brought home a gardenia for Kay. Good old Kay. Busy, busy, busy. On the telephone even at 6 when I reached home.
How'd it go, Gracie? She wasn't such a fool as to invite that horrible man to the Lesters. Oh, hurry, dear. You're awfully late. They're expecting us at 7:30.
Well, there's plenty of time if my shirts are back from the laundry.
Ellen's been looking for your studs. We can't find them anywhere.
Well, that girl sent my studs to the wash again.
Oh, be quiet, dear. It's only Harry, Gracie, the age-old hunt for studs. Of course, personally, I don't see why Jerome ever married her. I think he's a perfect nitwit.
Well, if you come right down to it, why does anyone marry anyone? Well, why does anyone marry anyone? Where does it begin? It's easy to know where some things begin. Father told me he registered me at St. Swithin's School 3 minutes after I was born. That's where he went... Where his father went, and father took me when I was 12. Delivered me personally in the old touring car, model 19-8. It was an important moment for both of us.
Someday you'll be grown up, Harry, and I want you to be a gentleman. In life, sometimes it's puzzling to know what to do. But you'll know if you've been taught to be a gentleman. I know you're going to have a fine time. But if you don't, be certain you don't let anyone know about it. Well, I guess that's about all.
And he drove off, leaving a very lonely little 12-year-old behind him. Not half so lonely as when I went to dancing school the first time. Kay was there, chubby, prim, proper, complete with curls like all the other little girls. And I was just like all the other little boys, I suppose. Starched Eton collar, white gloves... Awkward, all feet.
I've got a dog, a cocker. His name is Flopsy. Don't try to slide so much. And keep time to the music. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2.
And after St. Swithin's, in due course, Harvard, the Yard, the Stadium, and Bojo. Bojo Brown, all American, holding forth in his room with his injured leg in a cast. Bojo. Telling his teammates,
"You all know I'm not going to be in there with you tomorrow. But you're going to beat the living Hades out of Yale whether I'm there or not. All I can say is, give it to them, fellas. Give it to those Elis."
That was Bojo, all right. And Bojo hasn't changed much. He was Harvard for me. And so was Bill King. Dry, wise, cynical, beloved Bill King. Maybe Bill was a touch wiser than most of us. Maybe not. Our class of 17 didn't have time to find out. We graduated and we went off to war. It wouldn't be right to mention in a class history that I was decorated. It sounded like boasting, I'm afraid. But when I came back from France in 1919, we landed in New York and there was Bill.
Well, go ahead and tell me how you won the war.
Oh, I'd rather not talk about it.
Okay, kid. It's funny how you fellas act when you first get back, but don't worry. You'll get over it in a week or two.
Yeah, I suppose so. But, Bill, when I called the family, I knew I didn't want to hurry home to Boston.
Was Kay Motford up there?
Kay? You know Kay?
Well, don't you remember? You brought me home to lunch one Sunday 2 years ago. Your mother had invited her. You called her a drip or something. No judgment on your part, Pullum.
Yes, well. Anyway, I don't feel like going home. I can't explain it. I suppose it's the war.
You don't have to explain it. You were brought up in a tiny segment of the world that's going to be non-existent. Boston. Back Bay, Boston. Beacon Hill.
Well, what about you?
Me? I'm changing just as quickly as I can. Of course, it's a lot easier for me. I've not been in your hive of bees.
Well, you used to like our beehive.
Oh, sure, sure, I liked it. I liked your father and your mother and your sister and all the other bees. But, Harry, you've got to get out of there. I'll get you a job. I'll get you one tomorrow.
What? Where can you get me a job?
Where I'm working. Biggest advertising agency in New York. J.T. Bullard Incorporated. Walter Kaufman, general manager.
So, you think you can write advertising copy, eh? No, don't answer that. We'll find out soon enough once you get out of that uniform and start scribbling. Take him out of here, King. See that he gets some civilian clothes. He can start Monday.
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Kaufman.
Mr. Kaufman's a busy man, Harry. Come along.
They can't hire people that way.
No, can't they? Well, here's the copy department. This is where we work. And don't you stick your nose out of this cubbyhole. This is our cell.
What am I going to do?
Oh, didn't I tell you? You're my assistant. And there won't be room in here for anyone else.
Is this 90-day wonder going to come in here, too?
Sure, the whole United States Army is camping here. This is Harry Pullum, Marvin Miles.
Oh, very pleased to meet you.
Well, yes. I'm running out of ideas. Always do on an empty stomach. Look over that copy, will you, Bill? See you later, I suppose.
What does she do?
The women's copy.
I never saw a girl do that before. Well, that is, not a nice girl.
Do what?
Paint and powder herself in public.
Well, this isn't exactly public, is it?
Well, what do you want?
Well, I was told that you sent for me.
Oh, yes, yes. Sit down. Over there, next to Miss Miles.
Do I have to take the lieutenant along?
Go ahead, Miss Miles.
Well, it's on the survey for Cosa Flakes. I'm to knock on the door or ring the bell, and then I say, "Good morning. I haven't come here to sell anything. I have a remarkable new soap. I want to give you some to try."
Soap?
Yes, of course. Soap. Go ahead, Miss Miles.
And then I say, "I wonder if you have a moment, if you could give me something soiled to wash." Oh, do I have to do that?
It'll be a great experience for you. Make a big party. Lots of fun. You follow me, don't you, Colin?
You mean that we're to knock on somebody's door and ask if we can wash something?
I'll tell him about it as we go along. Now, if the suitcase and packages are ready, we'll start right away.
What is it you want?
Good morning, madam. I haven't come here to sell anything.
Please go away. Mr. Frankel's not at home.
Oh, now, madam, I just want to give you some of our amazing new product to try.
Get out of here. I'll call the police.
Now, Mrs. Frankel, I don't blame you for being suspicious. It isn't every day that someone appears on your doorstep and offers to wash the dirtiest piece of clothing that you have. But that's exactly what we want to do. A little washing for you. Oh, that's all, Mrs. Frankel.
Washing?
Yes.
Come in.
Well.
Now, if you'll show me the laundry.
The laundry, he says. You mean the sink in here.
Fine, fine. Now, if you have...
Here's some socks.
Ah, thank you. Miss Miles, some Kosa flakes in the water, please.
Oh, come on, let me do those.
Oh, don't be silly. When I was overseas, I washed socks from Boulogne to the Rhine and back to Boulogne. What's the matter? Am I doing it wrong?
Mrs. Frankel didn't know there was anyone like you. And neither did I. There's absolutely no reason for you to go so far out of your way just to see me home. I'm a big girl, you know.
After all day in the Bronx and then at the office, you know, you ought not to be out alone so late.
Oh? What do you think I generally do? Well, here we are. Will you come up?
Oh, no, thanks. I'll just see that you get in, all right.
Strangely enough, I have my key.
Well, good night.
Good night. Sir Galahad.
Look, Harry, I just remembered I've got a business appointment. Now, you don't mind if I don't go to the station with you?
It's only a weekend in Boston, Bill. Don't worry about it.
Marvin will see you off, won't you, Marvin?
Oh, certainly.
Remember me to your family, especially to Kay Mockford.
All right, I will. Goodbye, Bill.
So long, kid. And Marvin might even help you pack if you ask her nicely.
I always wondered what your room was like. Oh, here, I'll help you pack. You're sure to forget something.
Do you really think it's all right for you to be up here?
You mean my reputation?
Oh, it sounds so silly when you put it that way.
You know, I don't know what you're like at all outside the office. Whose picture is this? Your mother?
Yes, that's Mother.
And that your father?
Yes.
Oh, who's this girl? Somebody you haven't told me about?
No, I told you about her. That's my sister, Mary.
Uh-huh. Who are these boys?
Oh, those are members of the Zephyr Club, my club at Harvard.
Funny. All of you is there, isn't it? All you're going back to. It must be queer being in two places at once.
I don't know what you mean. I'm not in two places at once. But I wish you were going along.
Hmm. What would they think if you brought me?
Oh, they'd like you. Once they understood you.
Well, what is there to understand?
Oh, no, nothing really. It's just that after you're used to one type of person all your life, you judge everyone else by that type. Oh, you wouldn't understand them either.
Maybe I would. I understand you. Harry, you are coming back, aren't you?
Oh, of course I am. I'll be in the office 9 o'clock Monday.
You sure?
Of course I'm sure.
Don't let them take you away, Harry. Don't let them take you away.
Now, Harry, my boy, I married your mother when I was young, and I never regretted it.
Well, Father, I haven't been thinking about getting married.
That's all right. You'll get the idea sometime.
Well, I haven't got it yet.
But you will. It's a good thing to be prepared for it. It's a good thing to be thinking of the right sort of girl. Now, I've always liked the Mockfords.
Oh, now, look here, Father. Honestly, I'm not interested in Kay Mockford. I don't want to marry her.
Well, someone like her, that's all. You'll settle down. And everyone else will settle down. Because certain values don't change. You'll come home to stay sooner than you think. Now, Harry, what the devil is it you do in New York?
Oh, I've been helping in a big campaign. Advertising soap.
Thunderation, you can't like a thing like that.
Oh, I do like it because something's happening all the time.
And I've spent my life trying to fix it so things wouldn't happen. What else do you do in New York?
Oh, generally work late. I'm pretty tired in the evenings.
Then you'd better make up for lost time.
Excuse me, Father.
What is it, Mary?
Mother's asking for Harry.
Oh, all right.
I'll see you later, sir.
Yes, of course. And remember what I've been saying, Harry.
Harry?
Yes?
Give me a cigarette.
You allowed to smoke?
Well, what do you think I am, 15? Thanks. Harry?
Hmm?
Don't you like us anymore?
Now, what under the sun makes you ask that?
I don't know. Maybe a brother and sister can never know each other. Be fun if we did, wouldn't it? Perhaps if we got drunk together, we'd say the things we really thought.
Oh, now, look here, Mary.
Oh, well. In case you don't know, Mother's going to try to make you stay here.
Yes?
Yes. She's in here, Harry.
Darling.
Oh, hello, Mother.
Darling, do you know how proud we are of you? All the more reason now why you must enjoy yourself while you're here, dear. Now, you're going down to Kay Martford's for luncheon tomorrow, aren't you? And in the afternoon, go down to the beach and see all your old friends.
Don't worry about me, Mother. I'm having a fine time. It's just that...
It's what, dear?
Well, it's just as though I'd never been away.
You will hear what happens to H.M. Fulham Esquire in just a moment. Now for Act Two of the MGM Theater of the Air, starring Brian Ahern. Harry Moulton Fulham, age 46, is in his study in the wee hours of the morning. He is contemplating the past, that endless succession of identical days. He is racking his brain. His early life passes before him. What can there be to write for a class biography for a 25th reunion? Nothing important, that's certain.
It must have seemed strange, quite strange, to Mother and Mary and to my father that summer weekend in 1919. But most of all, the strangeness must have been apparent to Father. Forthright as always, he brought it right out into the open.
You're not serious about going back to New York, are you?
Oh, I have to be in the office Monday morning.
When are you going to stop this confounded nonsense?
It won't do any good to argue, Father.
All right, we won't go over it again. But I'm hanged if I know what's getting into everybody. Perhaps if you're back around October, we could go out after woodcock. When you were born, I thought I'd have somebody to take shooting. Funny, isn't it? Nothing ever turns out the way you think it will.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't say that, sir. It makes me feel...
I can't help the way you feel. You can't help the way I feel. I guess neither of us is very bright, Harry. So we'll just have to worry on as best we can. Good night.
Well, you're not angry with me, sir, are you?
No. No, it's no use talking. I never was any good at talking.
The train seemed to lag on that trip back to New York. I felt as if I'd never get there. But Monday morning rolled around, and with it came work, the office, and Marvin. Marvin as fresh and lovely, and matter of fact, as always.
Hello. Well, you made it.
Seems so, doesn't it?
And you don't look any different. I kept thinking you'd look different. Did you miss me?
Very much.
All right. Oh, Kaufman wants us. Now remember, Kaufman is very bad on Monday mornings. Well, get some paper and pencils.
I want to tell you something.
Well, tell it quickly. What are you looking at?
Marvin, I...
Well, Harry, what's the matter? Is it the heat?
I don't know. I love you.
Why? Whatever put that in your mind?
I don't know. But just now, when I saw you, I wanted to tell you.
Oh, darling, that's all right. I love you, too, but there isn't much we can do about it right now, is there? Come on, get your things. Kaufman's waiting.
Oh, Marvin.
Darling, you've got to learn to keep everything in its place. Tonight you'll go home, put on your dinner coat, and stop for me at 8. We're going to celebrate. Champagne and everything.
Marvin. Marvin.
Yes, dear?
Oh, you're lovely in the office. But dancing on a roof garden in your new dress, you're beautiful.
And you're so wonderful in a dinner coat. You look as though you belonged in it. Not like a waiter, but like a sergeant portrait.
Well, I'd hoped I'd look like Rudolph Valentino.
Oh, darling.
I don't see what you see in me.
You wouldn't. It's because I can do so much for you.
I wish I could tell you the way I feel. When are we going to get married?
Darling, do you really want us to get married?
Why, yes, of course.
I was wondering why you were so worried. Oh, now, don't look that way. Of course I want to, but I want to be sure that we really love each other.
I'm sure I love you.
I want you to want to marry me so much that you don't care about anything else. Anything. I want you always to be happy.
What a wonderful place for dreaming. In an open carriage in Central Park.
Any place is good for dreaming. When you dream the right dreams.
Such as?
A penthouse overlooking the park. We'll have a living room with nothing but Chippendale in it. What do you want?
Nothing. I'll watch you buy it all.
That's because you've always had everything. Aren't you going to kiss me?
Yes, of course. Oh, Marvin, why are you crying?
Oh, darling, promise me something.
Anything.
Don't ever leave me.
Oh, of course not.
Just try to forget that there is anyone but me.
Well, the summer disappeared, just melted away. The fall was exciting. We went to the football games, and before we knew it, Thanksgiving had come and gone, and the first snow was falling. The morning, the telephone rang in our office, and Bill picked it up.
Yeah? Oh, Boston, take it, Harry.
Oh, it's the family, I suppose. Hello?
Harry, is that you?
Yes?
This is Mary. Did you get my letter?
Get nearer the phone. I can't hear you.
The doctors say you must come right away.
Is it Mother?
No, it's Father. Harry, they think he's dying. The doctors want you right away.
All right. I'll take the 3 o'clock train. Tell him I'm coming and give him my love. And Mary?
Yes?
Tell him I'm with him all the time. They want me. Father's very ill.
Well, I'll go with you. I can stay somewhere.
No, there's no need for you to do that, Marvin. I'll go.
Well, call me up tonight, anytime.
All right.
Marvin, tell Kaufman, will you?
Goodbye, Marvin.
Don't say that. Don't say goodbye, ever, Harry.
Hello, Father. I just got here.
Don't go away.
I'm not going anywhere.
This is where you belong. Some men in the house. We never did go shooting.
Oh, we'll get there still. You'll see, sir. It's going to be all right.
The men have finished the formalities at the safe deposit vaults, Mr. Fulham. They have the box outside now. Your father never liked delays in probating a will.
No, well, we might as well begin, I suppose.
Yes, sir, I'll fetch the box. This letter was in the last mail.
Oh, thank you. Marvin. My dearest, darling. Time is such a funny thing, without any constant value. It's so dreadfully long now that you and I are not together. I've been thinking of you all day.
And I'll think of you tonight, even when I'm asleep. And I'm still counting each minute until I hear you're coming back. I don't seem to be one person anymore, because part of me always seems to be with you.
If you're ready, Mr. Pullum, we can start checking the common stocks.
Oh, all right, Miss Rollo.
It's such a terrible time. I went through it when my mother died.
2,000 shares of Gateway.
Check.
It's so terrible to have someone go.
1,000 North Mills.
And then to know that never here Will you see him again? If you and I were ever to quarrel...
1,000 North Mills, Mr. Pullum.
Huh? Oh, yes, check. Sorry, I wasn't listening.
And said we were never going to see each other again. Why, I should always think, of course it isn't so. Someday I'll see him. Right on the street somewhere. And then you'd kiss me. I would always think that someday, somehow, I could get you back.
300 Martin Brothers.
Check.
It won't be long before I see you, will it? Don't be busy. Don't get lost. Come as soon as you can.
500 Wainwright International.
Check.
Come as soon as you can. Don't get too busy. Don't get too lost.
Pardon my ungentlemanly curiosity, Harry, but all at once, Bill King and Marvin Miles invited to the Pullum House on Beacon Hill for a winter weekend.
Well, you're my best friend. I couldn't get away, Bill, and it was the only way to see you. Both of you.
I see. Both of
well,
us.
Yes, I hope Marvin likes it here.
Why shouldn't she?
Well, I just wouldn't want her to think that it's stuffy.
Boston people are all like that.
Really?
It's just what I thought it would be like.
I hope you found everything upstairs that you wanted.
Oh, yes, everything's lovely.
She likes it here.
Well, I thought we could all go out to Westwood tomorrow and take a picnic lunch. That's our country house, Marvin, I told you, remember?
Oh, but darling, I haven't any clothes.
Oh, Mary can lend you something. She has a lot of old tweeds.
Don't I, though?
And you can borrow a sweater of mine.
Huh? That'll look funny.
With an S for St. Swithin's on it. Boy, do you mean we're going out there alone just to look at the snow and the ocean? Me for the feather bed and right now.
Harry, dear.
Well, Mother, this is Marvin Miles.
So sweet of you to come and see us. I'm sorry I was not up to see you last night.
It was so kind of you to ask me.
Now, sit down here, near me. Now, let me see. There was a Winty Miles in New York. He was in your father's class at Harvard, Harry. They were on the tug-of-war team together. Are you related to the Winthrop Miles, my dear?
No, I'm not. You see, I live there, but I wasn't born in New York.
Oh, I see. Harry's so reticent always. All he said was, Bill King's coming and a girl I know from New York. Now you must tell me all about yourself. Everything.
Well, I work for the J.T. Bullard Company. I'm a copywriter there.
Oh, how nice. You and Bill and Harry all together in that queer place. Oh, but Harry tells me so little. Now, tell me about your family.
My family lives in Illinois.
Illinois? Yes. Now, Harry, when you go to Westwood, be sure to have Patrick put the chains on the car.
Yes, Mother.
And you'll call to see me again this evening, my dear?
I'd love to.
Mary will read to us Emerson's Essay on Friendship.
That's it, Marvin. Stamp your feet. Hard. Serves two purposes. Gets the snow off and starts the circulation going in them.
Practical young man, aren't you?
Just used to the snow at Westwood.
Oh, cold, isn't it? There's still some down my neck. Snowball fights. But Bill's having fun.
You know, you may not believe it, but it's warm here in the summer.
Oh.
Now, there's white wisteria all along the front porch. And the leaves are out on the silver birches. It's such a nice old house. When we were kids, we always used to slide down those banisters. We never used the stairs. Oh, and up there, a large family of ghosts used to live in the back hall. I had names for all those ghosts. I used to know their ages and their sizes. Oh, why, Marvin, you're still cold.
Just a little.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry. Standing out here in the cold hall. Here, come in by the fire. That'll thaw you out.
All right. There wouldn't be anybody who could see us if you kissed me. Except the ghosts in the back hall.
For a moment, I forgot it was winter outside. I thought it was May, and I saw all the garden filled with tulips.
You're so sweet, Harry. Sometimes I wish I didn't love you so. You have many ties here, haven't you? You're not coming back to New York. You're going to stay here. I know it.
Well, if I stay, you're staying, too.
Oh, Harry.
I don't want you to go back to New York tonight. I don't want you to go ever.
But I am going back. You know that, Harry.
Hello, Miss Rollo. Any messages while I was at the squash club?
No, sir.
Thank you. Miss Rollo?
Yes, sir.
Get me a seat on the Merchants Limited for New York this afternoon.
But the Armitage Estate, sir. The papers will be ready.
Oh, hang the Armitage Estate. And place a call, please, to the Bullard Advertising Agency in New York.
To you and me, always and always, for years and years.
To that, I'll drink. And to tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
We are getting married tomorrow.
Why, darling, tomorrow we haven't any place to live.
Oh, there's plenty of room at home while you're looking for some place.
Oh, no, I couldn't. You belong to me, but no, not there.
Well, it'll only be for a little while and until we get a house.
Oh, darling, we belong to each other here. Everything of you and me is here.
But Marvin...
No, I can't.
But why, Marvin? I thought you liked it.
No. I hated every minute of it.
You... Oh. Well, then you must hate me, too.
No. No, it wasn't any of the you I've ever known. You know it. You tried to get away from it, too. That house where you can't hear any footsteps, just ticking clocks.
But you'd have your own house, just the way you want it.
But I don't want just a house. Oh, darling, I love you more than anything, but I couldn't live that kind of life. I couldn't join discussion clubs and fuss with curtains. I'd be dreadful at that. Why, there wouldn't be anything left of me. I can't be different than I am.
That's absurd. Nobody would want you to be.
I won't spend my life pretending. There's me. I can't be anything else. I simply wouldn't belong.
Oh, you would get used to it.
But I don't want to get used to it. I have my own life, my own
life.
But
Marvin, I have my own life, too. I have to live where I belong.
Well, then what made you work at the Bullard office?
I don't know. And I belong at home. And that's where I'm going. I would never fit into a penthouse overlooking Central Park. And I'm not going to be the husband of the women's copy department at Bullard's.
I'm not going with you. Do you understand?
Yes. But I'm going. Well, I guess it's all over, Marvin. All over. Just like that.
Well, perhaps it's just as well. You took up a lot of my time.
You took up a lot of my... Oh, well. Let's not fight anymore.
Well, at least it's something to remember.
I guess there's nothing more I can say to make you change your mind. It's rather like the end of a fairy tale, isn't it?
Harry, wait a minute. I want to tell you something. No matter what happens, no matter how long, I'll always be waiting for you. If you want to come back.
Goodbye, Marvin.
We'll continue with H.M. Fulham Esquire in just a moment. Now, Act Three in the MGM Theater of the Air presentation, starring Brian Ahern in H.M. Fulham, Esquire. What can a man remember of the loneliest time of his life? Memory is a magician, making the barren stretches of the past a gray blur. Harry Moulton Fulham, Esquire, dwells on the time when the course of his life changed abruptly. He sits there in his study, the class history forgotten, reviewing the panorama of the past.
That was a strange time, almost as if I was suspended between yesterday And today, Marvin out of my life, father gone, Mary busy with her own life, mother secluded in her room, Bill out of touch almost. Why does anyone marry anyone? Why? Well, they say you can get over anything in time, but I don't believe you can. But given enough time, you can put it where it belongs. And that's what began to happen with Marvin one bright sunny morning. Or did it? Well, no matter. The fact remains that there was a sailboat, a spanking good breeze, and even a few whitecaps on the bay. A sailboat, myself, and a girl at the tiller. I'm awfully glad you called me up this morning, Kate.
You better trim the jib. You never keep it flat enough.
And you'll do better if you keep her off wind a little.
Harry?
Yes?
We're neither of us happy, are we?
Well, why do you say that?
Well, if you're unhappy, you can tell when someone else is. Everyone around here acts so darn contented.
Yes, I know what you mean. It's no good trying to be different from what you are. Did you ever try it?
Yes, I've tried it.
Well, it doesn't work.
Oh, well.
Oh, why, Kay?
No, no, don't look at me. I'll be all right in a minute. It's just, I don't know, I feel so futile.
Oh, here. You better let me take the boat.
Oh, it's all such a rut. Here I am, and here we both are. Well, we are in the same boat, aren't we?
Yes, we're in the same boat, all right.
I didn't mean to come out here in the middle of the Massachusetts Bay and make a scene. I hate people who do. Do I look all right?
Oh, you look beautiful.
You never tell me that before. Even in dancing school. Oh, I didn't mean to be such a fool.
Oh, no, you haven't been. Seeing you has made me feel a lot better.
Harry, maybe the people we know are better. We know what they're going to do.
Yes, of course.
That's just like you. You always say, of course.
It was a big wedding, just the way Father would have wanted it. Bill came up from New York to be the best man. He had something to say, of course, in his usual style.
If this ever happens to me, I'll go before a New York judge somewhere downtown.
But Kay wouldn't do that. So there I was, and there were all the others. I knew every one of them was happy. I could tell by their approving smiles. And yet, for some strange reason, my mother was crying. Kay's mother was crying. Why do mothers always cry at weddings? And Kay, looking prettier than I've ever seen her. Well, we went to Europe for a honeymoon, sailed on the Berengaria from New York. We waited for the ship at a New York hotel. Our wedding night in a New York hotel.
Harry?
Yes, dear?
Sit down. Here on the bed. Harry, I'm not sure we love each other.
What?
Well, wouldn't it be awful if we thought we loved each other but really didn't? If we only got married because we thought we ought to.
Oh, I guess everybody feels that way. Don't worry, Kay. Everything's going to be all right.
It's all right as long as you're here. You won't leave me, will you?
Of course not.
Not ever.
Not ever.
Please kiss me.
Of course, dear.
Oh, Harry, it's only a little thing, but could you just stop saying, of course?
Oh, why, yes, Kay, yes, of course. Well, we've made a good life together. Of course we understand each other. We even like each other. And that can be important.
Harry, are you still sitting here? Do you know the time?
The time? What? Oh, yes, of course, the time. 2:30? Was it that good a dinner party? Seemed like Ruth Quiller talked nothing but sex. I don't see why she has to talk it at the dinner table.
Well, her husband's a psychiatrist. We came from the dinner party at 11:30. You've been sitting here for 3 solid hours. Now, come along. You know I can't sleep until you're in bed. Good morning, dear. You're late.
Good morning. I know it.
Your morning paper, Mr. Fuller.
Good morning, Ellen. Oh, never mind the paper.
You mean you're not going to read it with your breakfast? You have a headache, dear.
No. I'm all right. Was that?
I'm sorry, sir. The dish just came apart in my hands.
Well, all right. But do that sort of thing in the kitchen, will you, so I won't hear it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
It's like life, I suppose. You think everything's all right, all there, solid, and then suddenly it comes to pieces in your hands.
Well, I told you you shouldn't have had that highball after dinner. That's why you thrashed around all night. It always gives you indigestion.
I didn't have indigestion. It was my class biography. I kept thinking about my life.
Why, Harry?
I went all over it. It was all there, like adding up a balance sheet. It almost made me frightened.
Frightened?
Okay, let's get away from all this, can't we? Just you and I, alone, together.
My darling, I never heard you say anything like this before.
Well, it's all around me, like a wave. I just want to know that you're there, too. It's like reaching for you in the dark. Okay, if I got the car...
Why, Harry, you act as if I hadn't been a good wife to you.
Okay, have you ever really loved me?
Well, of course I have. I love you now. I love our life. It's what we both were made for.
Yes, I know. But have we ever really loved each other? Have we ever been happy?
Well, of course we have, for years and years.
Well, then, why can't we ever see each other?
Well, do you think we'd be able to see each other any better if we went off somewhere in the car? Besides, I've got to start paying the bills, and I have luncheon engagements today and tomorrow, and I'm going to judge the flower arrangements at the garden club this afternoon. Harry Pullum. If you brought that car to the door, you'd be ashamed of yourself.
Okay, if I ask you, please, if I say how much it'll mean to me...
Oh, Harry, please, I'm much too busy to run away into nowhere.
Well, yes. Yes, of course. All right. No, Miss Rollo, I'm not going to answer those letters now.
But, Mr. Pullum, every morning...
Not today. Hello, Hadley Hotel? Mrs. John Ransom, please. Today, Miss Rollo, I'm changing routine. Just a drive-off.
Yes, sir, if you wish, Mr. Pullum.
Hello? Is that you, Marvin?
Come in.
Hello, Marvin.
Hello. Why, you haven't changed at all. Your necktie still doesn't match.
Oh, I never could seem to do that with ties.
Oh, it's been so long. But it's lasted all the time.
Yes, it's lasted.
Oh, darling, put your things down. Come here.
Here, I've brought some champagne. Well, of course, lunchtime's a little early, but I never liked it without you.
Well, I have some already.
Oh.
Will you open it?
Oh, yes, of course.
I used to wait for the cork to pop, remember?
Yes. And every time, it always made you jump. You ready?
All right. Oh!
There.
Oh, wait a minute. There's something else you'll never guess. Oh. Now, to us.
It's wonderful. We did so many wonderful things together.
Oh, yes.
No one's ever read me a poem since then. Marvin, there was one. I've dreamed of you saying it so many times... here I lie, something about a hunter.
Harry, dear, have you been happy?
Oh, yes, I've been happy, Marvin. That is, yes, I've been happy. How about you?
Me? I have a butler and a yacht.
Well, I have a boy and a girl and a Celium.
Why, Harry, how old is he? The boy, I mean.
Oh, 15. He's going to St. Swithin's. Oh,
I'd love to see him. Does he look like you?
Yeah, I have a picture of him here somewhere.
Well, what's his name?
George. He doesn't look so good now. He has pimples. Here.
Oh, he does. He does look a little like you. And where's the little girl?
Right here.
Oh, I can't see her very well. Why, she's burying her head in the grass. Why is she doing that?
She's looking for spiders.
Spiders?
Yes. She likes to look for them.
Oh. Funny, isn't it? You've never met John, have you?
John?
The man I married. He looks like you. That's why I married him.
Oh, does he?
Of course he does.
Oh, darling.
Oh, Harry. Where's your handkerchief?
Oh, yes, yes, of course, of course. Here.
Darling?
Yes?
Darling, we can't go back.
I've always had the idea, somewhere in the back of my mind, that we could. Well, that's not the way it's meant to be. Whether we like it or not, we've got to go on. And that's that.
Well, we'll have lunch downstairs in the dining room. If that's all right with you, Harry. Oh,
anything you say, Marvin. Kay, is anything the matter?
No, I wanted to see you, that's all. So I took the car and came downtown.
Well, has anything happened at home?
No, there's something I wanted to tell you. I've been trying to get you on the telephone. Miss Waller said you were out to lunch. I called up the squash club, but you weren't there, so I've been waiting here in front of the office. It's after 3 o'clock.
Well, I was at lunch. Well, if you must know, I've been having lunch with Marvin Miles.
Oh. She used to be so attractive. Is she as pretty as she used to be?
Oh, why, yes. That is, almost.
I canceled all my engagements, gave up the garden club, everything, to come down and get you. Harry, I've been thinking all day, and I want to tell you that... Oh, get in the car, dear.
I really should go up to the office and sign my letters.
No, please, Harry.
Well, what is it?
Well, about what you said this morning... Whether we've ever been in love, we've always loved each other. We've loved each other so much, we never bothered to talk about it.
It's all right, Kay. I'll be all right tomorrow.
Oh, Harry, don't you know that I love you? With you and me, it isn't only passion and wish. That's all there is with any two people at first. But with us, it's more, much more. It's what love really is. All the days and all the years of you and me together.
That's what I said this morning.
I know. I know it now. Our bags are in the back.
Why, Kay?
I packed yours myself, just the way you like it.
Oh, but I don't want to seem selfish, Kay. You shouldn't have broken your engagements. But Kay, where could we go?
Anywhere. To the Berkshires. The leaves will all be out.
Well, look here. We can't go running away like this.
Oh, can't we? Harry, there's nothing any other woman can do for you that I can't do.
Why, Kay?
You know, Harry, you may not have been aware of it, but you've always been in love with me. I don't believe we've ever been very far apart since that first day in dancing school. Have we, Harry?
I guess that's the way it's always been. You and me.
To the Berkshires, then?
Why, yes, Kay. Yes, of course.
Brian Ahern will be back in just a moment. Do you mind submitting to a brief interview? The audience, I believe, would like a little offstage stuff.
Well, I'm always a slave to the audience. So far away, Howard.
Few screen actors have had so vast an experience on the stage as well. You've played everything from Shakespeare to modern comedy. Do you prefer the stage to the screen?
Well, the basic techniques are the same, but the techniques of approach are slightly different. And by that I mean that in both mediums, you have to bring the character you're playing to life, but the tempos which you use vary. The screen is more or less of a close-up, and the stage is a long shot, so to speak. Why, I really have no preference. I like to play something good.
Like MGM Pictures?
Well, yes, MGM has a pretty high average.
And so have you.
Oh, thank you.
Of course, that close-up business makes the audience feel quite intimate with you. They've seen you kiss a girl enlarged about 100 times.
Well, that's an enormous kiss. But on the stage, it's such a trifle.
And in life, it's practically nothing.
Now, don't you malign so delightful an experience.
Wouldn't malign for the world. Well, thank you, Brian. The MGM Theater of the Air is grateful for your performance.
The enjoyment was mutual. Thank you.
H.M. Fulham Esquire was presented by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Battleground, starring Van Johnson, John Hodiak, Ricardo Montalban, and George Murphy. Gertrude Warner was heard as Marvin Miles. Original music composed and conducted by Joel Herron. The program was directed by Marks B. Loeb and produced by Raymond Katz.